TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I think he's staying. I think he's staying because trading him, unless you do get some sort of a superstar level guy that creates a ton of excitement and gets ownership to say, we understand that it's going to be difficult to get the most out of this right away, that secures Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman for another year. I mean, I hate to be this cynical about it, but I've been covering the sport for 20 years. There's an element of what decision is more likely to get me fired. And if you trade Kirk Cousins and you don't have a great replacement, you're more likely to get fired after this year.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is more likely to save Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman.
You know, okay. I didn't think I was going to rant off the top here for you guys, but like, not to kill the messenger, that was Pro Football Talk Live, Florio and Chris Sims talking about Kirk Cousins, Mackey, Judd, Declan. It's Purple Daily here. You know how you fix that problem? Because I agree, what Mike Florio just said is a lot of coaches and executives, they do their job with the eye on like not getting fired in a league where everyone gets fired. But you know how you can avoid that? If you're ownership, you can come in and say, guys, the bar for whether or not you get fired is not making the playoffs. It's winning a Super Bowl. And if you can present to me a plan, whether it involves Kirk or not, I want to see a plan that wins the Super Bowl. And so getting to 10-6 might still get you fired, just so you guys know, if you whiff in the first round and don't get to the Super Bowl. Set your bar higher, owners of the NFL and the Wilfs Super Bowl.
So when the Wilfs bought this team in 2005, they came here as having grown up as huge fans of the Giants, and they had watched the Giants go through good and bad. And then at that time, the Giants had really, for a long time at that point, settled into the sweet spot of being consistently competitive. Mm-hmm. And the Wilfs said, we want to be like the Giants, which is consistently a good team. Unfortunately for the Vikings, what they have not achieved and what the Wilfs expected was this part. The Giants are consistently competitive. And then once at that point, what, every 5 to 10 years would sort of pop and go to a Super Bowl. And sometimes they'd win that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where the plan, which originally sounded like a pretty good plan, just to be consistently good, has fallen apart, which is you are still yet to go now in what, 16 years of owning this team to a Super Bowl.
It's crazy.
And so now I think what the Wilfs should do is go back to that original goal, revisit it, and say, hold on a second here. We have been ordinarily consistently competitive, but how do we get to a Super Bowl?
Yep.
Like, it has to be a new question and a new era of thinking towards that goal.
And that is a great setup for our discussion today, which is going to be powered by our friends at Corona Hard Seltzer here. A prominent NFL analyst has called Kirk Cousins the emperor of garbage time. And we're going to discuss objectively, whether that's fair or not.
That's a great word.
After we cheers a Corona Hard Seltzer, Declan.
Before I have any objective conversation, I always think, well, hold on here. Before I need to have the right mindset. So let me grab a Corona Hard Seltzer. Let's have an objective discussion, an objective thought process on how I want to handle this situation. This can work for Kirk Cousins. It can work in your relationships. It can work in a lot of avenues.
Listen, honey, we need to talk and have an objective conversation about our relationship. Hold on.
Let me just slide you over a little BlackBerry Lime. Crack it open. All right, now open the vein. What did I do wrong this time? Because Corona Hard Seltzer is the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes, with a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime. Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spiked sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavor that allows you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer spiked sparkling water with natural flavors. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So Mike Tanier, who currently writes for Pro Football Network, and he's also one of the original Football Outsiders analytics guys, too. So he's a prominent football analytics writer. And he posted this article today with the headline, Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins is the emperor of garbage time.
That's such a great headline. That is, I don't even.
The emperor?
You could stop right there. You've got me. That headline's fantastic.
I'd like to know what his process was that led him to the word emperor of garbage, king of garbage time.
Emperor is the best.
So, leader or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he came up with definitively the best word possible.
Emperor of garbage time. So
even just the definition quick of emperor, a sovereign ruler of great power and rank, especially one ruling an empire. So yes, I think that's pretty damn good.
That also could easily be a band name.
Yeah.
Emperor of Garbage Time
is a good band name. That's a quality.
You like that?
I love it.
Yeah, they would just be a Creed cover band, right? With arms wide open. All right, so Garbage Time is defined.
Receivers wide open.
Oh, my God. Okay, Garbage Time defined in this article. He writes, Garbage Time is like pornography. It's hard to define, but we all know it when we see it.
That's a great line, too.
For our purposes, Garbage Time is when a team is trailing by 16 points or more in the second half of a game. All right. And that's kind of it. Like when you think back to Kirk, it's not that Kirk never performed as well. And I've got some numbers on that, too.
It's the Packers game week one.
Yeah. Now they're kind of down by double digits and now they're underdogs. And so he's going to fire it back up. You've been on this for 3 years, right? He did this in Washington, too. So here are the quarterbacks who threw the most passes in garbage time situations last year. Gardner Minshew had like 120 or something attempts in garbage time because they were always in garbage time. Yeah. Nick Mullins with the Niners, Drew Locke, who's Declan's guy, Matt Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. This is the write-up. Kirk Cousins is the emperor of garbage time. The Vikings quarterback completed 74% of his passes for a league-high 7 touchdowns when trailing by 16-plus points last year. You would expect nothing less. One cannot become the Kirk Cousins without the gift of being able to throw a touchdown just before the 2-minute warning of a 52-33 loss. See week 16 against the Saints. Over the last 3 seasons, Kirk has completed a whopping 76% of his garbage time passes for 13 touchdowns. It's almost as if the Vikings quarterback sees a prevent defense at the end of a loss, rubs his palms together eagerly and proclaims, "Time to make my money." Somehow, Cousins' employers are always fooled by the statistical padding and sign up for another overpriced tour of duty.
Wow. Yikes.
Wow. Oof. That is as much of a hatchet job as I've probably ever read. We've been critical of Kirk Cousins, but like Mike Tanger just came in and burned the house down. Is what he wrote fair, Judd?
I don't think that this is a black and white conversation, and I don't think this calls for a yes or no answer. I think that what he wrote, in a sense, is very fair because he can statistically back up what he wrote. So there's something there. I mean, we've all seen Kirk do it. We've all seen Kirk be the, again, emperor of garbage time. I would say this about Kirk. When it comes to Kirk's play, I think there's always been a feeling from my end, without looking at statistics, so just the eyeball test of watching Kirk Cousins play, that often, not all the time, because nothing is all the time, that often we see Kirk thrive when the pressure is basically dialed down and it's like, well, the game's probably done now, right?
Or you're playing the Jaguars.
And yeah, and I will take you to what I will always consider to be exhibit A of the stress is incredibly high. This is incredibly difficult. And Kirk basically puts both hands firmly around his neck and chokes. That's the game. I believe it was DeFilippo's last game as OC in Seattle. The backwards pass to Latavius Murray with Adam Thielen literally by a boom mic saying, "Throw me the bleeping ball."
Yeah.
And that is the definition of small sample size, but that is where I always go when it comes to far too often when the pressure is big. But yeah, I mean, this guy did his research, backed up his work, and to dismiss, which I'm sure some folks will do, what he wrote as just Kirk bashing, you hate Kirk, everybody hates Kirk, doesn't really look at what we should be examining.
Yep. I'm actually going to defend Kirk here for a minute and just say that I think this article makes it sound like the only thing he's good at is garbage time. He is the emperor of garbage time. There's no denying that when you complete like 76% of your passes over the course of 3 years in garbage time, that you are clicking on all cylinders in garbage time. And so you can call him the emperor of garbage time. But you know what? Like, Tom Brady doesn't play in garbage time very often, but I'm guessing he's probably pretty good at garbage time too. So I think my only beef with this article as a Kirk criticizer myself is that it makes it sound like the only thing that he's good at is garbage time. Like you could go back and look at his last 10 or 11 games last year after the bye. And he was good objectively in just most situations. He didn't really have meltdowns in the second half of last season. Now, what you could do if you wanted to, you could take Mike Tanier's premise and say, right, but the season was garbage time because you were 1-5, right? Or 1-6, yep, whatever you were. So could you apply the theory to like the macro of the season and say, oh, of course, once he throws 11 picks in the first month and a half and they're 1-5 and the season's basically over.
Yes.
Now the pressure's off and he starts to play well. So it actually kind of fits from that perspective, too. But I would love to give you guys 4 Kirk Cousins stats that tell a real story about him, both good and bad, and get your thoughts on these one by one.
Okay.
Because I have done some digging as well. And we've talked about a couple of these peripherally on the show, but it's not like Judd said, it's not black and white. There's no such thing as in all situations, it's this. I think some people hear Kirk criticism and think, you're saying he never does well in the clutch. Look, what about the Saints game? Okay, yeah, he was awesome in the Saints game when he needed to be. He threw that 40-yard dime to Adam Thielen, and no one's taking that away from him. Mm-hmm. It's just that he does that less often than other quarterbacks do, which we'll get to in a second. But stat number one, Kirk Cousins is somewhere between the 10th and 15th best quarterback in the NFL, according to the all-encompassing stats and metrics that matter the most, that like take into account context and opponent and garbage time, and they sort of wrap it up into a ranking. In QBR, he was 18th last year. Football Outsiders has him 13th on average over the last 3 years and as high as 10th. So, again, between 10th and 15th. Mm-hmm. And Pro Football Focus has him 10th on average over the last 3 years and 10th last year. So, PFF 10th, Football Outsiders 13th on average. QBR had him a little bit lower, 18th last year. And so, stat number one is Kirk Cousins is somewhere between the 10th and 15th best quarterback in the NFL, according to these numbers.
And we've said that for how long now? 3 years? He is. He is a fringe. He's the definition. And I don't care if it's the statistical test, the eyeball test. I don't care. He is the definition of a fringe top 10 QB. The only thing where I think Kirk actually really thrives as far as if you're a fan, embrace him, is if he is, my guess, the quarterback for your fantasy football team. My guess is that
he's actually not a good fantasy quarterback.
Really? Because I would guess the garbage time things would really help you out. But anyway, as far as we're concerned, that there is nothing you said. There is zero that you said that surprises me. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. He should be a 21st. No, he shouldn't. Or he should be a definitive 7th. No, he shouldn't.
Yeah.
He is a fringe on his best day, I think. He's a fringe top 10 QB.
Yep. And I think we can all sort of agree. There are some fringe people that think he's a lot worse than that. And there's some fringe people that think that, no, he's like the 6th best quarterback. But if you take those fringes out, I think the majority of people agree.
Yeah,
he's like a fringe. He's between 10th and 15th, kind of depending on the opponent and the day and the season, whatever. But then I think that the disagreement there comes from how much you value a fringe top 10 quarterback. I personally look at it and I say, I'm not going to celebrate that. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. We are too complacent with just being good enough. How many teams with a fringe top 10 quarterback have won the Super Bowl? Well, usually if you have a fringe top 10 quarterback and you win the Super Bowl, that quarterback makes a lot less than 15 to 20% of the salary cap, right? Mm-hmm. So I look at it, like some people look at it and say, why are you ripping him? He's a fringe top 10 quarterback. And I say, well, there's only 32 teams in the league. I'm looking to win a Super Bowl. I'm not going to celebrate it. He makes too much money and he's not. If he was the 4th best quarterback, all right, let's do it.
If he was the 5th best, 6th best. But if he, and Kirk should be, if this league worked like it should, and it doesn't, Kirk should be at the very top of the middle class of quarterback pay. That's where he belongs, but it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So the problem is, This discussion always falls into the realm of what does he give you versus what is he paid against your cap. If there was a middle class and Kirk hit the ceiling, which he should, of that class, our conversations would be, I think, drastically different. And I actually think that a ton of our shows would be wiped out, because at that point in time, it'd be fine.
Yep.
Right? Because you could go get him a guard. That'd be no problem. Here's a guard. Here's a tackle. Here's a defensive tackle. But where does this all come home to roost? It's where he's paid. He's paid like a top, basically, He is paid top eight QB for sure. And the problem is he falls outside that spectrum. And that's where this gets juicy.
Yep. Kirk Cousins, here's stat number two. Because offensive line is a problem. Pass protection is a problem. And to compound it, stat number two, Kirk Cousins was terrible under pressure last year, according to Pro Football Focus. And he's under pressure a lot. So 51% completions and a 72 passer rating, which was 17th in the NFL. Now, in the previous two seasons, when under pressure, he was 7th and 8th in passer rating. So he was a lot better. He was a top 10 quarterback under pressure the previous two seasons. Now, last year, the best under pressure quarterbacks, according to Pro Football Focus, were Justin Herbert, number one. He had a 100 passer rating under pressure.
That's remarkable.
Rookie contract for four more years. Mm-hmm. Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. So some Hall of Famers in there and some mobile guys that you would expect to be able to get away from pressure. And so when you're not great under pressure, both types of pressure, like magnitude pressure and actual pressure, and you're pressured a lot, that's not his fault. Those are tough. Now, stat number three kind of plays into stat number two. And this is one that no one talks about. Stat number three, nobody talks about. Kirk Cousins allows more self-induced pressures, according to Pro Football Focus, than any other non-mobile quarterback in the league. Last year, Kirk was credited with 16 self-induced hits, tops in the NFL by any quarterback, mobile or non-quarterback.
Yep.
Meaning that, like, when you're doling out, okay, whose fault was it that he got hit on that play? Was it Dozier's fault? Was it Riley Reiff's fault? One time per game on average, more than any quarterback in the league.
Yep.
Pro Football Focus said he either held onto the ball too long or he like strafed his way into a hit or did something on his own that wasn't the fault of an offensive lineman. And he took 16, what I would deem to be fairly unnecessary hits, mm-hmm. right? I mean, some of them you might have hung in the pocket or something and threw a ball in the field.
Or got stripped of the ball because of it.
He also allowed 27 self-induced pressures last year, which was eighth most in the NFL, behind seven mobile quarterbacks. The guys ahead of him are like Mahomes, Watson, yep. Wilson, guys who run themselves into pressure sometimes. Now, by running themselves into pressure, they're also like opening up a lot more big plays by keeping plays alive, and so it's worth the risk-reward. So 27 self-induced pressures by Kirk Cousins last year. Tom Brady, by comparison, only had eight. He's less mobile than Kirk Cousins, but he's great in the pocket.
He can shuffle at
avoiding pressure and sensing pressure, et cetera.
Yes.
And you've kind of been beating on that drum for a few years.
Yeah,
watching
causes
Kirk's
problems.
Yeah.
He plays like a guy who thinks that the majority of his line is really good. And he needs, but I mean, this
he needs a little more panic in his life.
But what is it? Guys, what does this all get back to? It gets back to a very simple fundamental thing that I believe to be true since Kirk was a young boy, and that's Kirk, it's not your fault. Kirk, it's not, you should have a clean pocket, Kirk. You deserve a clean pocket, damn it. This is your buddy Dakota's fault. And when you don't have that chip in your brain, and he clearly does not, and it ain't coming. He's never going to find it. This is not something that you can practice. When you don't have the chip in your brain that says you've got to move, you've got to slightly move and or just get rid of the damn ball. This is going to be the problem. And this is why, again, if Kirk Cousins is at the top of a middle class of salary structure that does not exist, and I could afford to get him the offensive line that his parents tell me he deserves so richly, then you know what? This isn't a problem, but it is. There's not, but Phil, what's incredible is you are going down stats. I have not heard some. And zero surprised me so far.
Yeah. Like some of these validate the eye test, don't they?
But like but ordinarily by now, you would have hit on one and I'd be like, really?
This next one's not going to shock you.
Case in point, Herbert, right? Like I would never think a rookie was number one under pressure.
That's pretty nuts. Yeah. So Justin Herbert, when pressured last year, completed 57% of his passes, which is very good. You're not going to see guys completing like 75%. 57% of his passes, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 1,400 yards.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
But that surprises me.
Yep. So this one's not going to surprise you either. This is the fourth and final and maybe most important one, unfortunately. When the game is on the line, Kirk Cousins doesn't play well more often than not. It's not a black and white. It's not that he never plays well. It's not, look at what, see, you guys eat your words, right? It's More often than not, he doesn't play well. Here are the numbers. When the game is on the line since joining the Vikings 3 years ago, fourth quarter or overtime, inside 6 minutes, trailing by two scores or less. Okay? Is that fair? Fourth quarter, overtime.
Yep.
6 minutes or less.
Absolutely.
Trailing by two scores or less.
Yes.
He has a 65 passer rating. It's 40th in the NFL. 5.5 yards per attempt, also 40th, mm-hmm. and a 56% completion percentage. Now, there have been some instances where he rises up, most notably the Saints playoff game, the throw to Thielen, or the Jaguars-Panthers games this season.
Or the Broncos game.
The Broncos game from 2 years ago, where they were down by 20 points, right? Mm-hmm. The best quarterbacks over the last 3 years with the game on the line, Deshaun Watson, number one. He's a passer rating over 100, almost 110.
Okay.
Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes is third. Tom Brady is fourth, and Ryan Tannehill is actually in the mix right there with Carson Wentz at fifth. So you can sit here and, like, I know people have thrown out, but, like, early in the fourth quarter, and that's fine. And, like, that counts for him. But when the game is on the line, fourth quarter overtime, inside 6 minutes, trailing by two scores or less, we need a touchdown and then probably another touchdown, right? If you're down by double digits or something.
Yep.
It's crunch time. Things aren't perfect because you're clearly losing. We need you to fix it. The guys who fix it are Deshaun Watson, Drew Brees, Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, surprisingly Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that surprised me as well.
Probably more in the first 2 years of that three-year sample.
Sure.
And one of the guys who is the worst at fixing it is Kirk Cousins over that stretch. Doesn't mean he never fixes it. Just means that he's bad at fixing it compared to other quarterbacks.
And so here's where the discussion gets a little bit difficult too. So Kirk Cousins has every right. When the Vikings come to him and say, can we do something with that contract before the third day of the league year? Because your 2022 contract cap wise is going to be $45 million and that's going to kill us.
March 19th, mark it on your calendars. That's the date.
He has every right in a league where the players, I think, are often treated like crap. He has every right to say, absolutely not. Nope. You gave me an extension. I'm not going to continue to help you. As far as Kirk, the employee, good for you. Okay. As far as Kirk, you're a piece of the puzzle here, and you just laid out a lot of statistics that say he is a piece of the puzzle. He is not the key piece. He's just a piece. Mm-hmm. But as far as constructing a roster and personnel and salary cap, you are, by doing what you're going to do, if you are a Vikings fan or a team employee, you are being put into a terrible situation by a guy who's not going to justify being the highest paid quarterback cap hit wise in the entire league. Mm-hmm. And so that's where this all collides, because you know what, as far as a player goes and as far as what Kirk is doing to the Vikings financially, they deserve what they get. They did this. But if you are running the team or you're a fan of the team, you're going to say to yourself, really? That's really the potential fallout? And the answer is yes.
Yeah. I think, like, we did a pretty deep dive into this on Mackie and Judd today, but I think it's worth getting into a little bit more here. Like, what you just said is not being highlighted enough, in that the March 19th date, just to be crystal clear here, okay, the March 19th date, not only is Kirk Cousins' $31 million cap hit, I mean, it's guaranteed for this year because, like, they're going to go forward with it. There's no reason to restructure. I mean, they could restructure this year and get a third year. But, like, the most important thing here is on March 19th, his 2022 cap number of $45 million, which is the most in the NFL among quarterbacks, locks in. And so you either have to then ride it out and pay Kirk Cousins more money than any quarterback in the NFL currently is set to make in 2022. Or you have to find a way to extend him and smooth that number down and into 2023-24. So now you're committing to age 35, 36. You're staring at a decision in the next 3 weeks that could define the next 4 years of your franchise. And it's almost like, I don't know if it's just like not on people's radars.
But I don't understand how it's not. Like, it's the most important thing to this franchise. It is the most important talking point that's about to hit them. And if they have, I mean, from all indications from what we have read and heard, it sounds like they have approached Kirk and Kirk told them buzz off. So that's where I'm like, if this was a, I don't know yet, right? Then it's like, okay, they'll probably do this, blah. But if he has truly said, and I mean, he did without saying it directly, he basically told Florio at the Super Bowl, I'm happy where I am. Like, I'm happy with my contract. If he's told him no, this is going to become a major storyline. And again, I will refer you to the fact that $45 million on a cap that's not going to go up as much as we thought is going to be the highest for any quarterback. So we're talking Watson, Rodgers, yeah. Will. I mean, you go through.
Dude, here's the,
you
here's
go
the,
through
list.
The list.
It's Kirk Cousins, 40. This is for 2022. This locks in on March 19th in 3 weeks. Kirk Cousins, $45 million. Now it locks in. It can be restructured, but it locks. Like, you can, if you cut him, you eat a bunch of money, you can get rid of that number.
His no then carries a ton of weight.
Yep. $45 million cap hit in 2022. Yep. Now, Matt Ryan is sitting at $41 million with the Falcons. That's a problem, too, for them. Good luck with that. Deshaun Watson, $40 million. Aaron Rodgers, $40 million. Russell Wilson, $37 million. Ryan Tannehill, $34 million. Pat Mahomes, $31 million. That thing, that long-term contract kind of has ebbs and flows with the cap hits. So think about that in 2 years from now. The Kansas City Chiefs will be paying $15 million less to the cap for maybe the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. And you're expecting to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, you got to fix it. You either have to trade him, restructure, like,
if he's told you no, you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A quarterback who's going to be with his team for a long time and cares consistently restructures. Brady did it constantly. The Patriots smoothed that contract over seemingly every year, Phil. So, like, he all, but at that time, he basically said, I want to win or try to win. So the difference here is a lot of guys that you just went through cap wise for 2022 will either probably not be with their teams, i.e., you know, the Falcons, Ryan could be gone by then.
Yeah.
Or they'll agree to restructure. That's the, so for people who are saying, well, Cousins will do the same, what we're telling you is he's basically told them, no, I won't.
Yeah. So this, you know, I get it. Like, some people think that we're just Kirk Cousins haters here. It's not black and white. If it's not black and white, don't paint us as black and white either. We are bringing up real legitimate issues performance wise. We're not ignoring the offensive line. We're not ignoring the defense. Those things need to be fixed as well. But when you have the most important player on your roster making that much money the next couple of years, it affects the team's ability to, this is a team game, and there's a greater goal beyond Kirk Cousins filling fantasy numbers. It's to win a Super Bowl.
And I want an Emperor of Garbage Time t-shirt as soon as possible.
Let's print the shirts.
I like it.
Somebody get me the damn t-shirt.
We got it.
Golf USA's Golf Show sale is going on right now. 10,000 golf items discounted to the best prices of the year.
Used equipment 50% off.
Golf USA has brought their amazing Golf Show deals back to the store
for the biggest sale of the year.
Inventory is limited, so get in early for the best selection. Over 10,000 golf items discounted to the best prices of the year.
All used equipment 50% off.
Don't miss out. Head out right now to Golf USA's Golf Show sale. Golf USA in Eden Prairie at the corner of Prairie Center and Flying Cloud Drive.
Boys, that's not all on today's episode. That's not all.
I want a mock.
We've got a Mel Kiper 2.0 to get to here in just a second after we shout out our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, where they've been helping business owners for over 100 years. My Shield is the product and the service that they've recently launched to help you business owners out there. The online client destination for risk management resources. Think about how helpful it would be for you to have employee training at your fingertips, industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. That's where Federated comes in. You can find out more about the great folks and Minnesotans at Federated by going to federatedinsurance.com, click on My Shield, or download the app. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. Also, our friends at Wamatech are helping you with your broken down phone, tablet, or laptop.
How so?
Well, let me tell you. At Wamatech.com, that's WAMATEK.com, you don't have to break the bank, because Wamatech sources their own pre-owned devices and passes savings directly on to you when it comes to pre-owned cell phones, tablets, and laptops, whatever you need. You can even trade your old device in for cash. Buy, sell, trade in, Wamatech.com, WAMATEK.com. You guys ready to mock here?
Let's do it.
I want to mock!
All right, boys. I'm going to pop this up here. Tell me if you can see it. Ho, 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 ho.
Hold on. Wait. Wait.
This is exclusive paid content. We might get in trouble for this, but don't tell anybody.
Did I see those last two words right? This can't be. Mel Kiper, three trades?
That's right.
What's going on?
You're staring at history here, folks.
What in the name of Bill Polian's going on here?
This is the first time in Mel Kiper's 3+ decades as the top mocker on earth that he has included trades in his mock draft. And he explains here, my second mock for the 2021 NFL draft includes a first. This is the first time in my history of doing mock drafts that I'm going to project trades in my projection of picks 1 through 32.
So he's going to recklessly speculate on the reckless speculation?
Dude, he's next level right now.
Whoa.
He adds, I've always stayed away because it's impossible to know how teams will maneuver, what offers they could get, but this quarterback class is too good. I wanted to find fits for the top 5 quarterbacks in the class. So I, after I waived the no trades clause for Todd McShay's latest mock draft.
Oh, yeah. He told McShay what's what.
I figured it was time to make a few deals myself. You'll find explanations. Yeah. So you think, well, Mel's going to dive in, right? And just maybe make one trade. No, he makes 3 or 4 trades in the first like 9 picks.
This is a man that does not want to go off into the sunset.
So he's got Trevor Lawrence going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then he's got a trade. We've got a trade.
Well, after he told Todd that he could make trade. Todd, you can
Todd,
make trades.
Todd.
Actually, where's the, got to find that sounder here, Dex. Oh. Where's the ESPN sounder for when
the draft chime?
There it is. There you go. We have a trade. The Falcons trade up to get the number 2 overall pick. And with that pick, they select Zach Wilson, the BYU kid.
Okay, but Declan's he goes to them, so he is Matt Ryan's replacement.
Yep. Not necessarily right away, though, because Matt Ryan's going to make $40 million or something.
Interesting.
Or maybe they find a way to trade Matt Ryan. Dolphins take DeVonta Smith. Jets take Kyle Pitts because they move down from 2 to 4.
So Darnold remains the Jets starting quarterback.
Yep. Get him a weapon there.
Okay.
Or maybe they trade for Deshaun Watson later. I don't know.
True.
I don't know what Mel's doing here. Penei Sewell to the Bengals to help protect Joey Burrow. Ja'Marr Chase to the Eagles.
Yep.
And then we have another trade. San Francisco shakes up the draft in a trade with the Lions and selects Justin Fields with the 7th overall pick.
Shanny's moved on. The Kirk dream is dead.
Amazing. Boy, if San Francisco offers a first round pick for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings say no, everyone should be fired. All right, Carolina taking
I was the
Mac
one called,
Jones.
Called for people to be fired when the show started. Remember that?
It is mostly you. Carolina taking Mac Jones at number 8. That seems like a bit of a stretch.
Yeah,
but
I don't love that one. But
I don't like it.
They're desperate.
They want to get rid of Declan's guy, Teddy.
This is maybe the biggest one. The Patriots trading up with the Broncos here to get Trey Lance with the number 9 overall pick. I kind of love that. Kind of love Bill Belichick moving up, get that quarterback of the future.
What are the Broncos doing at quarterback then?
Jalen Waddle, 11 to the Giants. We're going to scroll through here. And then we get to 14 with the Vikings.
Yeah.
Make the same pick that he had them in his 1.0.
Come on, Mel.
Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive lineman
from
USC.
Why got to do us like that, Mel?
Or eat your broccoli. The Vikings need an offensive lineman.
The top 5 was so much fun, and now I get down to 14.
Mock.
Old school Mel here.
He says, I'll stick with Vera Tucker here because of the versatility. He played guard before moving to left tackle for USC last season. He impressed there and rocketed up draft boards. I think he'll probably stick at tackle in the NFL. We know Coach Mike Zimmer will always push for the Vikings to draft a defender. This could also be a spot for a pass rusher or a defensive back. Yeah, so there it is.
He's probably right.
All right. So that's the sort of the boring meat and potatoes broccoli selection.
Mel making trades is a big day in Bristol, Connecticut.
Congrats on Mel jumping into the reckless speculation.
Yeah. Odds that Mel was told by his employer, you know, Mel, we are really beefing up our draft pool here.
We just signed the guy at the draftscout.com
guy. Matt Miller was just signed by us. But, I mean, you're fine if you don't want to make trades. And we don't need your next mock for about 3 weeks.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm supposed to do my next mock. And no, Mel, it's okay.
Yeah, Matt Miller over here made 9 trades in the first 15 picks.
But no, don't worry. Yeah. The Vikings make it. Yeah,
there's probably not going to be any trades in the draft. Don't worry about it. No.
Mel's like, okay, hold on a second.
Your contract's coming up, Mel?
And then Mel explained, the best part is he explained the trades like in detail. And then he made the picks.
Amazing. Poor Mel. Just being forced into uncomfortable speculation.
And then to try and cover his ass, he says, when I allowed McShay to make trades.
So that's a wrap on today's episode of Purple Daily. If you hate us because we're too negative about the starting quarterback, that's okay. You have a forum to tell us in our YouTube comment section, Purple Daily Podcast on YouTube. If you listen on Apple, we appreciate a 5-star rating and a positive review. It helps spread the word about the show. So go tell a couple friends that Purple Daily is entertaining you Vikings fans on a daily basis, or making you mad on a daily basis. Could be either one. And we'll see you guys tomorrow.